everyone, every Christian, not to be troubled. We believe in God. Now, who is it that we believe in? Well, we believe in the Creator of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first words of the Bible. God not only created all things, but God has remained in control of all things. And not only does God control all things in the final analysis, now I'm not saying by that that God directs all of the wrong things that go on this earth, but God permits them. God permits them. The devil is responsible for the evil, for the wrong, but remember, God permits him to go just so far and then no farther. Other than that, God is responsible. And so he created all things, and he's in control of all things, and by him, all things consist. Now, three C's you ought to remember. He created all things, he controls all things, and by him, all things consist. And that word consist means, of course, that all things are held together. Just like a strong magnet would hold all of the little nails or whatever pieces of metal might be close to it. But if you were to remove all those little pieces of metal with your hand and take them away and then remove that metal, then the situation would be changed entirely, and so it would. If we would remove ourselves from God through lack of faith, through disobedience, through failing to love God as we ought to love God, then it's just too bad. There comes a separation between God and us. And let me tell you, that's not good. Now, it doesn't mean for one moment that God is any further from us at that time than he is when we are walking close to him, so far as his ability to reach out and touch us is concerned. Just remember that God can stop the vilest sin wherever he wants to stop him and whenever he wants to stop it. Just as easy as he can stop his child, just as easy as he can stop a Christian anytime and wherever he wants to stop him. God's got that ability. I'm trying to tell you this morning that we have a great God. We have a great God who's creator of all things. We have a great God who has all things under control. And we have a great God by whom all things are held together. And we ought to appreciate him. And we ought to love him all the more because of his greatness. So the text says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be disturbed. Don't let it be agitated. Because you believe in God. You believe in the Almighty. You believe in the one that I have just described. And the Lord Jesus Christ adds to that, believe also in me. Now, the explanation of him adding that is because he was God incarnate at the time he spoke those words. He was God incarnate walking the earth. He was God walking the earth in human flesh. He was just as much God as the Father to whom he referred. When, beloved, he says, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God. He was God just as much as the God to whom he referred. And then later when he says, in my Father's house, when he referred to his Father, he referred to his Father as God. He could have referred to himself just as easily when he says, believe in me. The reason we ought to believe in him as much as we believe in the Father is because God the Son is just as much God as is God the Father. So, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be disturbed. Don't be agitated. Don't be worried. Beloved, I've said this here before, and I want to say it again. My confirmed conviction is that it's a sin for a Christian to worry. Now, I know that's hard medicine for some of you to take. And I can hear your conscience saying to me right now, some of you, well, Tommy, I just can't help working. I just can't help working. And I just don't believe that's possible for us not to work. My friend, I tell you, you're just as long as you. It is possible for you not to worry. It's possible for me not to worry. And I say to you, my brother in Christ, my sister in Christ, I say to you that we haven't got a thing to worry about. If our faith is in God, if we will hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in this first verse of this wonderful 14th chapter of John's Gospel, let not your heart be troubled because you believe in God, you believe in me. Beloved, let me tell you, we haven't got a thing in this world to worry about. Because God Almighty is still in control. And by Him, I repeat, all things consist. So, I hope you're believing in this wonderful one this morning. And if you are worrying about something, I hope you ask God right now to forgive you. And tell God with His help. Now you need His help. Tell God with His help you're going to stop worrying. And you're going to commit this thing to Him. And believe Him to work it out. Tell God that by His grace, remember that, by His grace, because you're going to need His grace. Make no mistake about that. You're going to need His grace to accomplish this. Tell God, by Thy grace, I will not worry anymore. I don't care how serious the thing may be. I don't care how near at hand disaster may seem. Just commit it to God and promise God that with His help, by His grace, you're not going to worry about it anymore, and you won't need to worry about it anymore because you can turn it all over, beloved, to the Lord, and He won't worry about it, I'm sure, because He knows exactly what to do about it. And He'll do whatever is needed to be done at the right time. At the right time. You know, it's wonderful that we have a God who is not only great and strong and able to do that which needs to be done, but He can do it when it needs to be done. And we've got a God who moves on schedule. We've got a God who moves on schedule. You know, that some of us can't get to meeting on time, just say, we've just got to be a minute too late. But God is that way. God can get you on time. And God can get anywhere He wants to get on time. And God can be anywhere He wants to be on time. And God can focus His attention upon any certain area that He wants to at any certain time. And He can deal with any certain individual at any time He wants to deal with any certain individual. Such is the power of the mighty God that we know and that we serve. So, beloved, having such a God as that, who is capable of doing anything and everything, and who lacks absolutely nothing, and by whom all things consist, who's holding all things together, won't you agree with me this morning? Won't you confess that you have been wrong, and if you're worrying about something now, you are wrong, and ask God to forgive you, and promise God, I say it again, that by His grace, you are going to turn this thing over to Him. You're going to turn your whole life over to Him. And everything that pertains to you over to Him, and everybody that you're connected with, every member of your family, every close friend you have, every brother and sister in Christ, you're going to turn them all over to Him, and you're not going to worry anymore. You're going to be concerned. I'm glad I thought to say that. There's a difference. There's a difference in being concerned and worried. But if you worry, then you of thinking that the worst is going to happen. That's the best definition I know for worry. You worry, you think the worst is going to happen. And you're just so troubled because you don't know what to do about it. You don't know what you can do about it. And you're just devastated because of these consequences, whatever that might be. That's right. But now, it's all right to be concerned about that. Now, I'm concerned about this message. I'm concerned about my preaching. I want God to speak to me and through me to your heart. I want God to glorify himself. I'm concerned about my trip here and my trip back home. I'm concerned about what we have on our agenda for our next week. I'm concerned about all my family. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about the audience, and so are you. And that's in order to be concerned. But to be concerned is one thing, and to worry is another thing. And I want to drive it home. So God says, right here, the Lord Jesus Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, don't you worry. Don't you be agitated. And the reason for that is you believe in God, the one who is able to take care of every situation, whatever it might be. And he says, believe in me. And the reason he says, believe in God and believe in me is because, I repeat this, he is God. Then he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Isn't it wonderful to be reminded that there are many mansions in the Father's house, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Father also. If so be, we have received his Son as our Savior, to as many as received him. To them gave he power, right, authority, and privilege to become the Son of the children of God, John 1:12. So if we have put our faith in God's Son, then we too have become his Son, or we too have become his child, and we too are members of God's family, and we can look up and say, my Father. Now, I've said this before in a lot of pulpits today. I am sure that that phrase has been used by some person who had no authority to use it. My Father. Beloved, I don't mean to speak disparagingly or anything like that, or derogatorily, or critically, but in a lot of pulpits such as I'm standing in this morning, during this very hour, very vertical tone, that phrase has been used, power. By someone who is not a child of God. By someone who is opposed, but who is not really a child of God. I remind you again of my 16 years of church membership, during whose time I was not a child of God. Though I thought I was a Christian, I was not. Alright, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. So there in the Father's house are many mansions. They are in the there, according to this statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reiterates, and he puts this emphasis upon what he's already said. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. If there were no mansions up there in my Father's house, I would have told you. I would have told you nothing up there waiting for you. He says, so they're there, and you can depend on them being there, because I would have told you if they're not there. They are there. But he said, now I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going, the best I can understand this, I'm going up there and dress it up. Sam announced about cleaning the chapel. And he announced about cleaning everything. I don't know if it was to take the pews and shake them too or not, but he said, shake everything, get everything clean. Clean the chapel. Now the Lord Jesus isn't talking about cleaning heaven, but he says, I'm going to go and prepare it for you. I'm going to get it all ready for your reception, for you to be received there as a permanent resident. Truth of it grip you. And think about what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying. The very one who is very God and very God, says, I'm going to say and I'm going to prepare it for him. And it's going to be just like, listen to what he says in verse 3. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, you don't have to make the trip all by yourself. You know, I have a hard time finding my way around. That's the truth now. I've never been good at following directions, and I've never been good at following my way, finding my way, even in my younger days. And it's certainly much worse now. I'm talking about getting from town to town, state to state, place to place, although we have traveled many, many, many miles. But the Lord Jesus is saying here to all who believe in him, he said, listen, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. He said, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to come for you, and I'm going to escort you to this wonderful place. I'm prepared for you. Isn't that something? I'm going to escort you there. You know, a number of times it has happened, and I've always appreciated it so much. I've been in a city or a town, and I've time to depart, and I've asked my hopes, perhaps, tell me how to get out of here. Well, you go down here to, there was a boy waiting for a school bus yesterday, and then he goes down here to Skinner's Corner, and when you get there, you turn to your left, and you go down there. You see three boys riding a bicycle. It sounds almost that foolish and that strange to the person who's hearing it. And the person, now get this, the person who's giving those directions, and you remember this the next time you get directions, you hear me? The person who's giving directions thinks that the way he is describing is just as clear to that person that he's given the direction to as it is to him. Now, I know what I'm talking about because I have been guilty of the same thing. It's just so clear to me, and I've got a picture of it right in my mind. I've been that way a number of times before, and I said, hey, you go down here, and you go here, and you go here, and you go here. And it just sort of seems in my subconscious that this stranger that I'm telling this to sees it like I see it, which you know very well he doesn't. You've been directed, you know how it is, you know what the experience is. And you know when you started to follow those directions, it didn't look at all like you thought it was going to look from the way the person described it who was giving you the direction. The Lord says, listen, he said, I'm going to come and escort you to heaven. I'm going to come again and receive you into myself to where I am, there you will be also. Isn't that wonderful? We think sometimes of a heavenly escort. We think sometimes of a cohort of angels taking us on to heaven when we experience physical death. And I don't know what it might happen that way. We think about a guardian angel being with us, taking us on up when the time comes for us to go. And it may happen that way. I don't know. But I do know what I read here, that Jesus Christ said, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself, wherein I am, there you may be also. And I'm going to escort you to that place that I've prepared for you. So I believe with all my heart that the Lord will take me this morning while I stand behind this sacred gate, that Jesus Christ will escort me there. Amen. I believe that I would have to find him. I wouldn't have to go there alone. But he said, I'll come again. And that I am there, you may be also. Whether I go, you know, the way you know, because I'm going to show you the way. And beloved, not only will we know the way, because he's going to show us the way. But listen, I can't say it with too much emphasis. Not only is he going to show us the way, but But he is the way. And when he shows it himself, he's showing us the way. Look what Thomas says. Thomas says, now what? We don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And what does he say? I'm the way. So beloved, when you know Jesus, you know the way. When you have Jesus, you have the way. You have the life, as he goes on to say. You have eternal life, spiritual life. And you have the truth, because this beloved is the truth. This is the truth. This book I hold in my hand. It's God's truth. We have the truth. We have it in pretty form. We have his word form. We have not only the truth, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither you go, I know, and the way you know. And then Thomas brings in his question, so that Jesus answers, and here's the verse I close with, the sixth verse of John 14. 14, verse number 9. Did you know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. If I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, the life. I've been to the light. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So that I am. Jesus says, you want to know the way, I'm the way. He says, you want to know the truth? I'm the truth. You want the life, eternal life, spiritual life, heavenly life? I'm that. So beloved friends, when we have peace, we have the way, the truth, and the life. When we have peace, we have everything. We have all. If this one person gives me, and you don't know my name, okay? I go up that room, still and say, send them on an automobile, may knock you down before you get home. You may drop dead before you get home. I'm just trying to tell that to you. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, if you know not what it takes. If you don't know this wonderful one that I'm talking about, who himself declared, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. If you have this little preaching, take you by the hand, Jesus Christ, all of us, Jesus Christ.